Starting a new series of sermons this morning that's going to take me a little while to get through. I've entitled it, Dealing with Other Disciples. Dealing with Other Disciples. I have discovered in my Christian life, and even as a pastor, maybe more so, in a new way anyway, that often Christian people don't really know how to deal with one another. You ever seen that happen? I expect that at home. You know, I go home and I got four kids. They're 12, 10, 6, and 4. And it's not unusual in the McBride household for me often to have to correct somebody for doing something crazy. If you understand what that means, raise your hand. Yeah, I mean, it could be sliding down the stairs. It could be swinging on the rail of the stairs. It could be fighting with your sister. It could be being mean. I mean, I had corrected my kids probably 30 times before I came to church this morning. Just so you know, we stay busy at the McBride household. You expect that with little children because they are, here's the word, immature. They do things that are immature. They do things that are unwise because they're kids. And thank God that the Lord has chosen to give children parents to be with them to keep them from killing themselves doing something stupid before they get grown. And every parent said, amen. Parents, your kids need you. They need instruction. Well, the truth is, as believers in Christ, all of us are God's children, and God's design and desire is for each of us to learn how to not only live with each other, because we don't want to just live with each other, that's not the goal, but God wants us to be a unified body, deeply in love with one another, and growing together to fulfill the purpose of God in this world. That's what God's design and God's desire is for us as a church. So we're going to study over the next little while the subject matter of dealing with other disciples. And as we do that, we're going to just be picking. I'm not going to be in a book of the Bible consistently. I'm going to be jumping around. But we're going to intentionally be selecting passages of Scripture that are going to help us as believers know how to get along. As they might say, can't we all just get along? Well, we're going to learn that, and you say, Pastor, who was it? Who did it? Who are you talking to? Well, it may be a surprise to you, but I'm talking to every last one of us. And by the way, far as I know, nobody did it. As far as I know, there's not a problem. But we want to know God's teaching and direction for our lives because the goal is to accomplish the ministry he's given to us. In order to do that, as you've heard me say many times, we all have to be going the same direction. So dealing with other disciples. We're going to start out in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. And if you looked in your bulletin, you've already seen the title of the message. Don't dish it out if you can't take it in. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I read a story this week preparing for this, and I thought it was very interesting and fitting. It's an illustration of, it says, two elderly Southern ladies were sitting together on the front pew at church listening to a fiery preacher. Now, they definitely were not Baptist because they were on the front row, and everybody said, now, if it said they were all on the back row squeezed in together, then it would have been a Baptist church. But since it wasn't, I don't know what kind of church it was. One day I'm going to go guest preach at a church where everybody sits at the front and on the front row just to see how it feels, you know? But anyway, they were sitting on the front row, and they were excited to be saved. If you're excited to be saved this morning, say amen. Here's what they were doing. When the preacher condemned the sin of stealing, these two ladies cried out at the tops of their lungs, amen, brother. Y'all say that with me. Amen, brother. One more time. Amen, brother. They were excited. When the preacher condemned the sin of lust, they yelled out again, preach it, brother. Say that with me. Preach it, brother. They were excited. And when the preacher condemned the sin of lying, they jumped to their feet. You know that's not a Baptist church. They jumped to their feet and screamed, right on, brother, tell it like it is. Let's try that. Right on, brother, tell it like it is. They were excited. But when the pastor condemned the sin of gossip, the two got very quiet, turned to one another and said, he's done quit preaching and started meddling. This morning, we're going to learn a lesson from Christ that is very important, a very important one for all of us to know. We're going to learn this morning about how to deal with one another as Christians in the faith. And specifically, we're going to learn of the dangers today of self-righteousness. I have a couple questions for you before we even get into the message today. How do you want people to act when you're in the right lane driving down the road and suddenly you realize you need to be in the left lane? How do you want people to act? Think about that. What do you want people to do when the item that you picked up at the store and you brought to the register is not priced and the teller has to wait to find another employee to help find the price for that item? It's like, why didn't they just put the sticker on there anyway, right? No. How do you want people to respond when you make a mistake at work? How should people judge you when you are having a bad day and you do something stupid? You see, often in life we have the opportunity to either, and listen to these things, to either show love, give grace, and give mercy, or to pronounce judgment and divvy out wrath, criticism, and personal attacks. God has called the believer to set as his goal in the Christian life to be Christ-like, giving grace, mercy, and love, instead of walking about being judge, jury, and executioner, or if you would, making heads roll. It's better to be known as the one who often issues pardons. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and we're going to get into our passage today. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 7, the merciful will obtain mercy. Let me say that again. The merciful will obtain mercy. Thus, in Matthew 7, we then begin to discover what exactly that means. Look with me in Matthew 7. If you're there, say, I'm here. All right, let's read. Listen carefully, and you read it to yourself as I read it out loud. Matthew 7, verse 1. It says, judge not that you be not judged. Now, I'm just going to pause for a second and say, that is probably one of the most misinterpreted and misrepresented verses in all of the Bible. And we're going to talk about why, hopefully, at the end of the sermon day. I got 30 minutes. I'm going to make it today. If you think I'm going to make it, say, you're going to make it. All right, here we go. Verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? By the way, if you write in your Bible, just for understanding's sake, the word mote there, you could write speck, a piece of dust maybe. And then for beam, you could write light pole, because that's literally what we're talking about here. We got a speck of dust and a light pole. Verse number 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, that little speck, and behold, a light pole is sticking out of your eye. Verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. This morning from this passage of Scripture, here's what we're going to do. We are going to discover four lessons that we learn concerning self-righteousness. Here's the thought for you today, just to ponder as we're going through these. Self-righteousness blinds you to reality. First, it causes you to judge others unfairly. We're going to see that in just a moment. And then it prohibits you from being able to judge yourself honestly. It, first of all, causes you to judge others unfairly, and then it prohibits you from judging yourself honestly. So what are these four lessons about self-righteousness we're going to learn? First of all, we want to look at today from this passage of Scripture, the readiness of the human heart to be self-righteous. You see, each of us have a tendency to act and be self-righteous. There's two main problems with that. You see, our tendency is natural for us to go out and to be self-righteous in dealing with other people. It's natural for us. We automatically are going to think better of ourselves in most cases than we do of others. That's natural. It's part of the sin nature, and every one of us are sinners. We already established that weeks ago. Thankfully, we understand that. We're all sinners, so thus, it is going to be natural to think that way. It's going to be natural for you in your own mind. And by the way, this is the flesh, and we all deal with it. It's going to be natural in your mind to automatically compare yourself to other people. And it's funny, when we do that, if you're with me, say, I'm with you. When we do that, do you realize it's always we find somebody that we think is not as good as us before we start comparing ourselves to them? Isn't that interesting? I mean, you find, if we're thinking about exercising, you're thinking, man, I need to start exercising. But then you think about somebody that hadn't exercised in a long time, you're like, you know, I'm not that bad off. You're like, I saw my pastor preaching. You saw how wide he looked in that suit because it's not pinstriped. I gave me some stripes so I look skinny, right? Yeah. You think about somebody worse off than you when you begin to compare yourself to others. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that condemn themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Here's what Paul's saying there. He's saying, it is real dumb for you to compare yourselves to one another. Because if you start comparing yourself to everybody else, it's natural, first of all, in your self-righteous mind, you're going to try to find somebody that's worse off than you, and then you're going to deceive yourself into believing something about yourself is not true. Self-righteousness is natural for us. It's common for us to think that way. But there's two problems with self-righteousness. And by the way, self-righteous simply means that you think highly of yourself. You have convinced yourself that you are a righteous being before God, and in his eyes, you are a holy, good person. God has already made the verdict. I know it's true. I'm good, and everybody else is bad. That's the mindset of a self-righteous person. But there's two problems here. First of all, it's impossible to be right with God and be a self-righteous person, because the self-righteous person automatically thinks, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm not really that bad. That's what you begin to think when you're self-righteous. You begin to not see the things in your life that are wrong. You begin to much more so see the things in other people's lives that are wrong. And you convince yourself that you're not really that bad, which means, as I said a moment ago, it's impossible for you to be right with God, because you don't think you need to do anything to be right with God. You think you're all good. Self-righteousness makes it impossible to be right with God. Secondly, self-righteousness makes you look negatively upon everyone else. You always see the negative. Anybody know? Don't raise your hand. You know anybody like that? Boy, it's difficult to deal with those folks. It's always negative. I mean, you could give them a gold brick for Christmas, and they'll think of some reason why it's not good enough for them. It always causes you to look negative to others. I remember one Christmas, I grew up as a savage for many years of my life. It was my dad, my brother, and myself, three guys in the house, and my dad worked all the time, and my brother and I, we were not very well refined. Of course, now I know you'd be surprised, because you're like, Pastor Tim is refined today. But I didn't grow up this way. Well, my dad got married years later after my mom passed away, and a woman came to live in our house, and I got a step family. How many of y'all have a step family? Raise your hand. How many of y'all are glad you have a step family? Yeah, okay, yeah, so I went to Christmas with my step family, and I had a cousin, step cousin. He wasn't really blood related at all. It was step, okay? It was step, a big step, okay? No, step cousin, and he was kind of spoiled. How many of y'all know somebody spoiled? Raise your hand. Okay, he was spoiled brat, let's be honest with you. And he wanted a watch for Christmas. And his mom, and by the way, this is not smart, so don't say this is the way to do things. I didn't say that. His mom, because she was not sure which watch he wanted, she bought him three expensive watches for Christmas that year. Three. And I just happened to be sitting by him. I won't say his name because you might meet him one day. He could come visit and that'd be awful. You're the guy. No, I won't say that. He was sitting by me opening his gifts at Granny's house, step Granny's house. And as he was opening his gifts, he got the first watch, opened it up, and he looked at his mom and said, Mom, is that the one I wanted? I'm like, And then he got another gift and opened up as another watch. Mom, this ain't the one I wanted either. Third one. This is the one I wanted. He saw fault with everything she gave him. He was not grateful for anything. A self-righteous person looks at everything that way. They always see a negative. They're always critical of things because, and follow me here, that comes from in their mind, in their heart, they are always right. They are always perfect, and everybody else is wrong. Self-righteousness. Very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. A man had come to the conclusion that his wife was losing her hearing. So he decided to do a test on her one day. Now, fellas, how many of y'all have discovered it's not good to test your wife in any way whatsoever? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's not smart at all. He decided to try a test on her one day. So he got all the way across the room from her. She was sitting over at the table. And he got on the other side of the room and he said, "Honey, can you hear me?" She didn't say anything, so he walked over a little closer. He said, got a little bit, about a third of the way from the through the room. He said, "Honey, can you hear me?" And then he stepped a little closer, halfway through, and he said, "Honey, can you hear me?" And then finally, he walked right up behind her to the table and said, "Honey, can you hear me now?" She said, "Yes, I can hear you. I've told you four times." The problem was not his wife, this guy. Couldn't hear. It was actually JW, just so you know, it's JW. We were sitting in Sunday school a moment ago, and I'm in the middle of my lesson. I'm waxing eloquent in my lesson, and I hear that really loud ringer sound because JW was in the office back there, and I looked at everybody, and I said, "You know what? Everybody in this room can hear that phone, but guess who can't hear it? JW can't hear it." It's good. A self-righteous person, it's not, they can't have a right relationship with God because they don't think that they need anything to have a right relationship with God. And then secondly, they're always going to have a bad relationship with other people because they see fault in everything that everyone else does. Found a few things written. This was written by someone else. Characteristics of a self-righteous person. Here's what they are. They do not work well with others. They consistently believe they are right and know best. They are resistant to change. They do not respond well when reminded they need to change. They do not desire others' exhortation or admonition, even getting angry at times. They are not patient with those who mess up, struggle with sin, or have lost their way. And they don't deal well with opposing views or with accusations. And they consistently wonder why God has singled them out for difficulty. A self-righteous person has a tough life. Because they think they know everything, and they assume everyone else is wrong. First, we've seen from this passage the readiness of the human heart to be self-righteous. It's our tendency. Secondly now, what's the result of self-righteousness? Look at the passage again. Jesus says in verse 1, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And the idea there is he's saying, don't judge somebody because you're going to be judged. Now let's read on to find out what he's talking about. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." The second point here is this. The result of self-righteous judgment is you're going to get in what you dish out. What happens when we allow ourselves to fall into the trap of self-righteous judgment of others? God tells us here. His divine sovereign control of all things, he says this, "You will receive in judgment exactly what you've given out." First, God tells us here, you're going to be judged in the way in which you judge. If you judge people, you look at other people and everything viciously and you attack it. If you're critical about everything, if you're negative about everything, if you don't ever give any grace, you never give any mercy, you know, people never experience from you, "Hey, that is a really loving person and he loves me." They never feel that. Joey's got that down pat. People feel like Joey loves him. He's just a good guy. But people never feel like, you know, that person loves me. You know, they never sense from you that, hey, that person actually gives grace. He's gracious. He's merciful. By the way, define those words quickly. Grace is giving somebody what they don't deserve. Mercy is not giving somebody what they do deserve. A self-righteous person is foreign to those thoughts and those ideas. Never do they do that. Instead, they are always attacking. I mentioned at the beginning, how would you like people to respond when you're in the right lane and you all of a sudden at the red light realize you need to be over in the left lane and you got to turn left? How would you want everybody else to act in that situation? I'll tell you. You would love for them to see that you had your blinker on trying to get over it, and they say, that's what you want. Self-righteous person, that's what you expect. But what if you're driving? And that lady, it's always a lady in the car. That lady's pulling up and she's in the right lane and all of a sudden she realizes she's being left lane. She turns her blinker on and starts turning across. How do you respond? Do you show grace and mercy? Or do you blow the horn and say, that idiot? I can't believe it. Why do they even give women driver's license? How do you respond? The self-righteous person expects people to do good to them. But seldom do they ever biblically respond in the right way to others. Self-righteousness. But what we discover is, whatever you give, God says, and by the way, I didn't say this. If I said it, you probably could just shrug it off, because the truth is, I'm not in control of everything, and I can't make what happens to you all day long at work. I can't have any influence at all what happens to you all day long at work. I can't make people do anything. And if you understand that, say amen. Okay, but God can. God can. Now let's read this verse again. It says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. In other words, when Jesus said a little while ago, I read from Matthew chapter 5, he says, if you are merciful, you will have mercy. In other words, God's telling us there, if you as a believer in Christ will discover the teaching of God's word and say to yourself, hey, my goal in life is to be gracious to people. My goal is to be kind to people. My goal is to show mercy to people, maybe even when they don't deserve it. My goal is for people to know that I am a loving individual. The love of Christ is showing through my life. If that's your goal and your desire, God says here, as you do that, you'll receive that in return. The merciful shall have mercy. You give out a little mercy, God says, guess what? I'll send a little bit your way. But the opposite is true. If you never give out any grace, you never give out any mercy, then when you do something at work, instead of coming up and saying, listen, Don, you got to be more careful next time, but we're going to be okay. Just be more careful next time, you know. Think about that. Instead of getting that, you're going to get hatchet. Head's going to roll. I didn't say that. God did. You're going to be judged and dealt with the same way that you judge and deal with others. And then the second idea there is, however you mete it out. Now, that's an interesting concept. The picture there, I believe, is this. Back in the day when they went to get a pound of flour, they didn't just have these nice little bags, you know, all sitting on the shelf like you see at the grocery store, all sitting out neatly lined up. And if it's at a Harris Teeter, they're perfectly lined up right at the front of the shelf, James, right there. At other grocery stores, you had to reach way to the back and reach out there and get that bag. They didn't have them set up like that. Instead, you went in, they had a barrel. And you go in and say, I want a pound of flour. And they get this scoop, and they scoop it out, and they throw it over in the bag or whatever and give it to you. And then you buy a pound of flour. Well, often a dishonest store owner would either toy with the scales to make it so that what you were buying really wasn't a pound, or maybe he would just get a smaller scoop than he was supposed to have. But either way, he would cheat you. Well, here's what God's saying here. Okay, Mr. Store Owner, if you try to cheat those people by toying with the scale, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get the same thing in return. And again, pastor can't make that happen. God can. God can. I read a story about a man who was so upset because he had been going and buying, it was actually flour, from this certain store owner for years. And he realized that the amount of flour that he was getting got smaller and smaller. I guess he would go home and weigh it, and he discovered, man, it's getting smaller and smaller. So he took the store owner to court. Sitting before the judge, he explained how he got to this point, and it got less and less, and he said, he's ripping me off. And when the judge looked at the other man, he said, sir, is this true? He said, Judge, here's what I've done. He said, I have a balancing scale, and I've taken that pound of bread that man sells me every week and said, on this side of the scale, and I put the flour on the other side, and I even it out. the man was cheating him with the bread. And then he expected something different than that in return. The self-righteous person needs to discover that the result of your self-righteous judgment of other people is going to be this. You're going to get it back in the same way. And people are going to use the same ruler to measure you that you use to measure them. Don't dish it out. Honestly, don't dish it out unless you want to get it back. Remember this verse. The merciful shall have mercy. Merciful shall have mercy. That's the result of self-righteous judgment. Now, thirdly, once Christ has presented these two thoughts to us, then he kind of turns the table a little to help us understand. He shows us now the reason for self-righteous judgment. Why do people do that? Why do people think that way? And why would I intentionally do these things? Maybe you're asking yourself. Here's the answer. Let's read on. If you're with me, say, I'm here. All right, don't let me lose you here. He goes on and says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Jesus now presents to us a picture to help us understand why we're that way. Because sometimes it's hard to figure out why I'm that way. Why do I do that? Well, here's the answer. Jesus tells us the reason that you're that way is this. You have been judging everyone else, and you have failed to, first of all, judge yourself. The picture of the mote and the log here, or the mote in the beam, is simply this. You have, as a believer, I believe here is the case, as a believer, you have gone about and you have tried to find fault with everything everybody else done. By the way, that's self-righteousness. We already talked about that. You're trying to find fault with everything and everybody else. You can judge everybody else's sin. I mean, it's like there is a magnifying glass on everything wrong with everybody else. And it's just like when you look at him, you see James, like he got one hair sticking up back there. And I don't have any hair back there. So, you know, you see every little critical thing with everybody. It just stands out to you. But Jesus says, you can't see anything wrong with yourself. You see, the reason people are self-righteous is because they have been blinded. They can't see. They have convinced themselves that they're okay, and everybody else is not. Self-righteousness comes and self-righteous judgment comes into an individual's life when they become blinded by their own ignorance of their sin. We often, despite how hard we are on other's sins, make excuses for ourselves. Listen to these and see if you've ever said these things. You lose your temper and you say, I have righteous anger. You're a jerk and you say, I'm having a bad day. You have a critical spirit and you say, I just tell the truth and tell it like it is. You gossip and you say, I'm just sharing prayer requests. How many of you ever did that? Don't raise your hand. You curse and swear, and you're saying, I'm letting off steam. You're pushy, and you say, I'm intensely goal-oriented. You're greedy, and you say, I'm simply taking care of business. You're a hypochondriac, and you say, but I'm really sick. You stink, and you say, I merely have an earthly aroma. Self-righteous person sees nothing wrong with what they do, but something wrong with everything everybody else does. You're being too kind to yourself in your estimation of where you truly stand in your spiritual life. And then you're using the wrong ruler to judge your own spiritual height. Number four, and finally, what's the responsibility of the believer in overcoming self-righteous judgment? How can we deal with this and put ourselves in a place where we can see things clearly? First of all, we got to learn to be a beam caster. Let me explain that. A beam caster is a person who is continuously coming before Christ and asking him to examine their heart and their life. The psalmist wrote it this way. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist David understood something. He realized that no matter how great of a person you may or may not be, it was necessary that you are consistently and continuously coming before God and saying, "God, just give me a quick examination. This week, I have got my yearly physical." Which always, and I said this last year, it always ends up in two things. First of all, they tell me that I weigh too much. Or they probably wouldn't say it this way, but they tell me I'm fat. And I'm like, wow, I'm glad you told me that because I didn't realize it. And then they tell me you need to get some exercise. That's the two things they always do when you go to physical. Well, the believer needs to daily allow God to investigate his heart or her heart in his life. God, look in here. What's going on? Are my motives pure, Lord? Is my heart right, God? Is the way I'm treating my brother and sister, am I doing these things right? Am I being self-righteous? Am I being judgmental of others? Learn to be a beam caster. You see, because here's what happens. When you approach God that way, guess what God does? James talks about that looking glass or that mirror. When you approach God that way and you go to God's word with that heart, he will show you what's wrong with you. All right? He'll show you what's wrong. And he can. He'll point it out. It's amazing. He'll show you your bad attitude. He'll show you your critical spirit. He will show you your lustful thoughts. He will show you the problem that you have with anger in your life. He'll reveal those things to you when you come to him and say, "Lord, how is my life right now? I know I got all these other people I could be looking at right now, but how is Tim McCrae today?" That's what God says I want you to do. Before you worry about anything anybody else is doing, before you worry about everybody else's problems, he says, you learn to be a beam caster. You learn how to get the beams out of your own eye. And the truth is, if you're here, say, "I'm here." The truth is, all of us have got beams that we need to deal with. That's just reality. So how do you avoid being a self-righteous, judgmental person that's condemned here by Christ? You learn to be a beam caster. You go to God daily and say, "Lord, what's going on? Where am I? I don't want to assume my righteousness. God, tell me the truth. Where am I really in my life right now, in my relationship with you?" Be a beam caster. Be a what? Learn that. Number two, we're almost done. If you're glad, say, "I'm glad." You better not say, "I'm glad." You never say, "I'm glad." No. I know y'all really want to stay to 12:30, and I'm sorry I'm going to let you down. Be a beam caster. Secondly, have a clear view, inspect before you look for a speck. You see, not only does the Bible tell us here to take, first of all, the beam out of your own eye, and then it says, though, so that thou see clearly. You see, God does give us a responsibility here. First, it's our personal responsibility to remove beams out of our own eye and to deal with issues in our lives. Deal with them first. But then he says, "I also want you to be able to see clearly." Why does he say that? It's because he wants us. People misinterpret, "Judge not, lest you be judged." They say that means don't judge anybody. Don't ever judge anything in anybody's life because it's wrong. God says, "Judge not." That's not what it means. It just simply means, remember, first of all, judge yourself. And then secondly, remember, however you judge that other person, you can book on it. You're going to be judged in the same way. But God says, before you try to go and deal with other people, and you should, a mature Christian always should be involved in other people's lives. You should be all up in other people's bubbles. How many of y'all know what that means? Raise your hand. You should be in other people's bubbles as a Christian. It's your responsibility. People you have influence on? Absolutely. But God says, be careful. Make sure first you pop your own bubbles. Be a beam caster. Secondly, make sure that you see clearly. Removing those beams out of your eye will bring you to the place where you'll be able to understand and see clearly from Scripture who God wants you to be. And then, and only then, number three, you can go about lovingly helping other people remove specks out of their eyes. You see, God has called us to be, as a church, not just as individuals who are saved on their way to heaven. By the way, that's a wonderful thing. But God has called every believer to be a part of a body. And that's what this is, by the way. This is a family. I call it family. God uses the word body. This is a family. God called a believer to be a part of a family. Some disagree with that, but they're wrong. And it's okay to be wrong, I guess. Anyway, God called every believer to be a part of a family. A body is the word Jesus used. A body of believers, a group, a church. He called every believer to be a part of that. And he gave every believer, first, a personal responsibility. Remember the beam casting, personal responsibility, take care of themselves spiritually. And then secondly, he gave us all the responsibility to be aware, alert, and helpful to other believers. He called us to that. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're not willing to do some beam casting, then you don't even need to try to go do any specking, okay? Just so you know, if you're not going to do beam casting, don't even deal with any specks. You just leave that alone. You just overlook it and go about your business. But if you're really serious about Christ, and you're going to be one who's going to honestly go before God and say, God, you help me. I want to grow. Listen, I am not content in my spiritual life right now. I'm not ever content where I am. I want to do better. I want to grow closer to Christ. I want to know him more. I want to grow in my relationship with him. But that only happens when we're willing to deal with our own messes first. And then God will give us the opportunity and the ability to go help other people deal with their messes. Second, first yours, but then you lovingly help others remove specks out of their eye. God didn't say here you can't help other people. He didn't say you couldn't judge things in other people's lives. If you see somebody doing something wrong and it's hurting them and it's hurting their family, absolutely God wants us to get involved in their personal space, in their business. But he says, first you deal with your own business before you go try to help another. A judgmental, self-righteous spirit is very destructive. First, it hurts everybody around you because you're not going to deal with things the right way. You're just going to offend and hurt people. But secondly, you need to think about this. Being that way hurts you. First, you're not right with God because you don't think you need to be. And secondly, you're not going to be right with anybody else because all you see is that they're all wrong. God, help us in dealing with other disciples to learn to cast out beams out of our own eyes so then we can help other believers get the specks out of their eyes.